This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Time to reach in the mailbag for an Ask the Vet segment with Dr. Ryan Leiterman, sponsored by Crystal Creek. More at crystalcreeknatural.com. And Ryan, we pick up from last month's segment on improving silage. You touched on forage preservation and how there are things we can and cannot control. And one of the things we can control are fermentation profiles and how we can glean some useful info from these profiles. Tell us more.
Yes, everybody understands the importance of fermentation, but I don't know if every farmer is looking at fermentation profiles, and that's, I think, an important thing. It's a test that can be run on silages to evaluate how well the fermentation was completed, and then we can glean things from there and say, you know, if there were some stumbling blocks, what do we need to do better next year? If you ever ran a fermentation profile on a silage, we can kind of go over what some good results would be. So if you're making a, say, an alfalfa haylage, you want to see a pH that's around 4.5 or 4.7. And that's kind of in stark contrast to where if you're doing a corn silage, we want to see generally below a 4 or around a 4, 4.2 to 3.7, somewhere in there. When we come to talking about the acids, the two predominant ones are going to be your lactic acid and your acetic acid. And we can tell how well the fermentation went, not only by just looking at the pH, the lower the pH, the more complete the fermentation, but also looking at the amount of lactic and acetic acid. Now, again, back in your alfalfa haylage, we'd like to see somewhere between 2 to 4% lactic acid, whereas in our corn silage, we'd like to see somewhere between 4 and 7% lactic acid. On the acetic side, for our alfalfa haylage, we'd like to see somewhere between 1 and 2% lactic acid. And on the corn silage side, we'd like to see somewhere between 1 and 3% acetic acid. Now, the lactic acid is a stronger acid, and you can consider that kind of like your workhorse of the acid profile in your silage, and that's what really is responsible for dropping the pH. But you can also look at your lactic to acetic ratio, and we want to see somewhere between 2.5 to 5 for that. So somewhere between, you know, at least twice as much lactic as acetic, if not even more. And so you can run these tests and evaluate how your fermentation went based on the results of these tests. It's good information to look at. It's not going to change anything for that year's silage, but can provide some useful insight, provides a lot of on what went well and what are some areas of improvement for next year's silage. And one of the things we know that can really help a fermentation profile is the use of an inoculant. And there's a lot of different brands out there. Crystal Creek has a brand called Inoculoc, and it's a forage inoculant for forage preservation. So much effort goes into that last step, and if that fermentation goes well, we're off to the races, and if it doesn't go well, we're stuck with that for 12 months. And it's just the inoculant, to me, is just such a small piece of almost like insurance to help drive that fermentation in a positive direction.
Thanks for the visit today, Ryan. Dr. Ryan Leiterman, Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
This has been Ask the Vet with Dr. Ryan Leiterman, sponsored by Crystal Creek. If you have a question relating to calf health and housing, email Dr. Leiterman at askthevet@crystalcreeknatural.com.
Dairy producers and processors in coming weeks are expected to benefit from $2 billion in assistance and resiliency programs meant to counter economic impacts associated with COVID-19-related market disruptions. Development of these programs led to rollout beginning in August, starting with the announcement of
the Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program.
Marketing and Regulatory Programs Undersecretary Jenny Moffitt explains.
Through the program, USDA will provide about $350 million in payments to dairy farmers who received a lower value for their products due to market abnormalities caused by the pandemic.
How should dairy growers and industry stakeholders expect this program to work?
This will be payments that will reimburse qualified dairy farmers for 80% of the revenue difference per month based on their annual crop production up to 5 million pounds of milk for sales from July through December of 2020.
And as for how payment and payment distribution occurs,
the payments are going to vary by region based on actual losses of pooled milk, and USDA will make those payments through agreements with independent handlers and cooperatives. USDA will be contacting the eligible handlers and cooperatives to notify them of the opportunity.
Our thanks to USDA Radio's Rod Bain for that report. And coming up tomorrow on our Policy Thursday, we'll head to our nation's capital and visit with Chris Galen from the National Milk Producers Federation. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.